Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of His vast mercy, He has given us new birth. You've been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that is presently kept safe in heaven for you. Through His faithfulness, you are guarded by God's power, so that you can receive the salvation He is ready to reveal in the last time. You now rejoice in this hope, even if it's necessary for you to be distressed for a short time by various trials. This is necessary so that your faith may be found genuine. Your faith is more valuable than gold, which will be destroyed, even though it is itself tested by fire. Your genuine faith will result in praise, glory, and honor for you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you've never seen Him, you love Him. Even though you don't see Him now, you trust Him, and so rejoice with a glorious joy that is too much for words. You are receiving the goal of your faith, your salvation. our affirmation of faith. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. Amen. Our first scripture reading will come from the book of 1 John. We'll be looking at chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty.
Our scripture text is the 20th chapter of John, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. On the very first Easter morning, only Mary Magdalene had seen the risen Christ. When she had gotten to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away, she went and told Peter and John about it. And Peter and John came running, believed that someone had indeed stolen Jesus' body. Then they went back to where they were hiding. But Mary, she stayed at the tomb, weeping. It was there at the tomb that Jesus came to her, called her by name, and she saw Jesus and believed. Jesus instructed Mary to go and tell the disciples what she had seen and heard. And Mary did exactly what Jesus had asked. She went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. But apparently, the disciples didn't believe Mary. Thomas always gets a bad rap for not believing the other disciples when they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But the other disciples hadn't believed Mary Magdalene when she told them that I had seen the Lord. We're all in the same boat on this, aren't we? Unless we experience something for ourselves, we really don't tend to believe it. So the first Easter moved along, and when evening came, the disciples were still hiding behind locked doors. We're told that they were filled with fear. They had seen what had happened to Jesus. They had witnessed the horror of Jesus' crucifixion, and they were scared out of their minds that the same people would do the same thing to them. They didn't believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. They believed that Jesus' body was missing, but they still believed in a dead Jesus, not a resurrected Jesus. And so they were absolutely terrified. Who would blame them? And then John tells us that Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then something very interesting happens. After Jesus shows the disciples the nail marks on his hands and his side where the Romans pierced him with a spear, we're told that the disciples finally saw the Lord, and then they were filled with joy. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Could it be that in showing his wounds to the disciples, Jesus is not only showing them that he is the same person that they saw hanging on a cross a few days ago, but also that his wounds prove to them that Jesus has overcome the very worst that the world can do to him? If Jesus can be raised from the dead after having experienced a Roman execution, what else is there to fear? Jesus has overcome the worst that the world and that the devil can do to him. Therefore, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Christ can say to the huddled and the scared disciples, "Peace be with you." Death is one of the things that people fear the most. You probably remember the story that I gave last week from Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book, when Mowgli was asking the animals what the most feared thing in the jungle was. And you probably remember the response from the wise old owl, who exclaimed, "The most feared thing in the jungle is death, because it steps aside for no one." The disciples lived in a very violent society, and we live in a very violent society, a violent world. There seems to be a war, a fight on every corner. We have terrorists blowing up and killing civilians in such seemingly safe places, such as train stations, mosques, police stations, hotels, even the busy city streets. Crazed people with guns walking into schools, places of businesses, church, just to shoot up anyone who happens to be in the line of fire. The anxiety level, the fear level, is pretty high, as it is every day. Jesus said to the first disciples, "Peace be with you." Jesus says to us, "Peace be with you." Who wouldn't want peace? Isn't this what most sane individuals most desire? We all need peace, do we not? How can we find it? How can we have it? On the night before Jesus died in agony, he knew what he was facing, yet he still took time to comfort his disciples with the message of peace. In John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give to you not as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid." What does Jesus mean by this? How can we live in this world with all the violence, natural disasters, and death, and be at peace? Certainly the kind of peace Jesus promises and gives is not about living with the absence of trouble. It has nothing to do with circumstances. It's something that is still on with us, no matter what happens on the outside. We may be in the midst of terrible troubles and still have the peace that Jesus gives. Paul said he learned the secret of how to be content in any circumstance, whether being full or hungry, whether having plenty or poor. Philippians 4:7, Paul talks about the peace of God that exceeds all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Don't you want your heart and your mind safe? Isn't that a beautiful thought? Again, the peace that Jesus offers us has nothing to do with tranquility, harmony, and easy living. Instead, we're told that Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." What? "Peace be with you. Now go do what I did, the very thing that got me arrested and killed. Peace be with you." How does that work? It only works through the power of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus said, "Peace be with you, and as the Father sent me, so I am sending you," he breathed on the disciples the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't ask the disciples, nor does Jesus ask us to conquer our fears on our own. He breathes on us the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit is the presence of Christ in our lives. Jesus calls us to the same kind of peacemaking that led him to the cross. And this kind of peacemaking is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Jesus didn't come into this world to merely keep the status quo. Instead, Jesus' peace brings the outcast and the marginalized people back into the fold and turns the way the world thinks on its ear. The first shall be last. The greatest is the servant. So it is through following Jesus that we find true peace, the peace that which transcends all understanding. It's been said that by ourselves, humans are not capable of following Jesus. The power of sin is just simply too great. But by ourselves, we want to fit in. We want to maintain our social status. We want to have privileges and keep our good name. And God knows this. So Jesus gives to those who will believe and receive it the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is Jesus' Spirit, God's Spirit. Just as God breathed into the nostrils of a human-shaped piece of clay in Genesis and made it a living human being, so Jesus, having been risen from the dead, he breathes into our nostrils the breath of life. And when that happens, we become children of God, children As the first chapter of John puts it, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So there is a correlation between having peace and making peace, is there not? There is a correlation between following Jesus and having peace. There is a correlation between dying to self and living for God and neighbor and having peace. There is a correlation between being born of the Spirit and having peace. There is a correlation between working for the inclusion of the ostracized, loving our enemies, seeking justice for the oppressed, the rejected, and the harassed, and having the peace which transcends all understanding. As one person has said, Jesus' peace invites the lion to see the lamb as a neighbor and friend, the Jew to speak with the Samaritan, and the prostitute to dine with the Pharisee. This is a new way of living in the world. It's the kingdom way of living. It's the Jesus way of living. It's the only way which leads to peace. In the eyes of the world, it may not make sense, but Jesus' peace doesn't aim guns at one another. Jesus' peace doesn't say an eye for an eye. Jesus' peace doesn't seek revenge. Jesus' peace doesn't drop bombs. Jesus' peace makes disciples and fills those who experience it with joy. Do you have this peace? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that I have peace with God by grace through faith in Christ's finished work. Thank you that in Him I have the peace of God to guard my heart and mind in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Thank you that I have your peace reigning in my heart, and I pray that I may be a faithful witness to the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ, knowing that Christian life is not easy, but joy comes in the morning. I pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and risen Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else to me, save. joy's all bright heaven's sun. Part of my own heart will ever be full, still be my vision. Oh,
thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.